It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and this is not articles of news. No, sir, it is the countdown of the top 13 stories of 2013, and joining me, Richie T, is our old friend Lindsay. Hello.
Hi, Richie. How are you?
I'm so great, and it's great to have you back.
You know what? It's good to be here. My day job took me away from the Cultural Hall for a little bit, so I'm happy that I got to do an episode, and like the big one.
Yeah, this is the big one.
Yeah, this is the countdown.
You have all sorts of other people in the Cultural Hall that are like, hey, how come she gets to do it?
No, I just haven't been here for a few months, and I just roll in and take the big episode.
See how you are. Yep. Anything new with you that we should know about?
Not a lot, man. I'm fostering another dog right now. I got two dogs at home.
Two children at home.
Two children. They're my babies. And then I've got a husband and just...
And he's a big baby, so that happens.
I take care of him as well. So, yeah.
And he's finally getting the CPA?
He's finished every test. He's just waiting for them to, like, approve him, I guess.
Yeah, thank you to him. For the help he offered my wife.
Yeah.
She's taking the test here in about an hour.
It's hard, man. I mean, yeah. I don't think he had a clue what he was doing, but once you do it, you're fine.
Would he do it again?
I don't know. He might. He's struggling with his profession a little bit.
Oh, really?
Well, he's just wondering if it was the right career.
And now invested so much time and all that, it's like, well, I guess I have to do it at least for a little while.
Yeah. But I think everyone goes through that, you know, kind of like, oh, is this the direction I want to go? Okay, yeah, we'll stick with it.
And things are going well for you. People can hear you middays on the B.
That's right. B98.7. I do the midday show from 9 to 3 every day. So.
9 to 3?
Yeah.
Oh, they make you come in an extra hour early.
No, it's a lot of hours on the radio.
Is it good?
Yeah, no, I love it. It was a great move for me. I was doing a morning show in the market, and I switched, same company, just switched over to a different studio in the building, and yeah, it's been a great move.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you go by on the air?
Just Lindsay.
Just Lindsay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, you can hear me.
You don't get to have anything fancy?
I don't really like fake names on the radio.
I don't either.
No offense to any of my fellow DJs.
No, I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I just like to be myself.
It's not Lindsay, it's Brittany.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so let's get to these top 13 stories of 2013. Drum roll. Nope. I didn't even invest the time to get a drum roll.
That's a lot of work.
Let's start with some honorable mentions. And you don't have to agree with these stories, by the way. And if you feel like we missed some, which we undoubtedly will.
Yeah.
You can always leave comments at theculturalhall.com or you can send messages along to us on Twitter or at the Cultural Hall. You can find us on Google+. Find us on Pinterest. You could pin your, man, you messed up. It should have been this story. I don't know, whatever.
Does anyone use Google Plus anymore?
You know, from what I've heard as I've researched it, there are still a lot of people who love it.
Okay.
But it's not at all like Facebook or Twitter, and that's why it just hasn't caught on, is it's a place where you go to learn more about things, is how someone explained it to me.
Okay. It's kind of a niche social media.
Yeah.
You have to be into it.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm not.
No.
But we have a page.
Yeah.
And the guy who runs it is totally into it.
Okay.
So hopefully he's doing well at whatever he's doing with it.
I'm sure he is.
Yes, he is.
I believe it.
Honorable mentions. Where do we want to start here? I think I'll start with the Tattooed Mormon.
Yeah, we did an episode about her, right?
Yeah, and I actually just did a follow-up episode with her fairly recently, finding out all about what's going on since she got married.
Oh, yeah.
And finding out that she doesn't particularly care for the name Tattooed Mormon.
Really?
Yeah.
So her name is Al Fox. We should call her Al, probably,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she could be my bodyguard, and you could call her Al. Terrible.
I can't believe I laughed at that. Yeah. I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, I hate myself and Chevy Chase for that reference.
My go-to clutch on the radio is just to giggle at anything, but I don't know what to say.
But she's doing really well, and you'll hear that episode actually upcoming where you hear about there's a baby on the way for the Al Fox.
Really?
And, yeah,
good
you
for
hear
her.
About. You hear about what she's doing as far as speaking, and she actually works for the church now, so you can hear all about what she's doing. So honorable mention there. You had one.
Elizabeth Smart had a big year this year. She came out with a book.
Have you read it?
No.
I've heard it. I've heard a couple family members at Christmas were talking about it, and they said that it's really candid, but not like you feel filthy candid, you know,
right,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like she talks about what happens to her when she was kidnapped, but that she does it in a way that you go, okay. And then more importantly, she talks about how she overcomes everything that has happened to her and how she's kind of dealt with it. So yeah. I, although have not read it yet, have heard great things about it.
Well, I just think she's remarkable to go through what she went through and be able to be so like graceful and poised and talk about it. I mean, like as a woman, that has got to be one of my biggest fears is what happened to her, you know, and she has to relive it every day more or less. So I think she's remarkable.
I'd love to know what life is like for her now with her husband. She, that whole, you know, her getting married thing, and that has intrigued me like crazy. I'd love to get her in the Cultural Hall and be able to talk to her about it. Other honorable mentions? I'll take reality TV stars, and then you can take the other one that you mentioned. Reality TV stars like crazy, all the Mormon reality TV stars. You have your, Joni will kill me for not remembering her name, but the woman that was on Survivor last season.
Okay, I don't know her name.
The BYU
either.
Professor that I can't remember her name.
Mormon mother on Survivor.
Yeah. Tyson, who actually won Survivor, former Mormon, returned missionary, lives in Utah. You had your Mormon on The Bachelorette or Bachelor. There was a Mormon person like for 2 seconds on The Bachelor.
Oh, really?
There was a father and son on the Bear Grylls.
Yeah, Get Out Alive.
Yeah, the Get Out Alive show. Mm-hmm. What else am I missing?
The Voice, top four contestants.
Yeah,
there were four contestants at one time on The Voice, I believe.
They were all Mormon. Yeah. Some of them were, what was the name of that group? The, he'll kill me. He's got a beard. Whatever Beardy guy is. McBearderson.
They're
like Madison Dove either. Or Swan Lake or there's something like that. Madly in love.
People Maddie. Are screaming at their radios right now.
Shoot. It's two guys, too. And I can't think of what it is.
I don't know.
Anyway, they're
called.
From Utah. I'm both right. Mormon.
The Biggest Loser? I guess, had somebody on.
Oh, yeah, the guy from Ogden.
Yeah.
What's his name? Mormon.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
We're doing really well at this.
No, we're doing great. Listen, they're not the stories. They're honorable mentions.
Right,
we're
right,
fine.
Right.
We don't need to know their
there
name.
There was a Mormon couple on Cupcake Wars as well. And The Next Great Baker.
Mm.
Just in case you want
we're gonna
to know.
We're going to have to take a cupcake break, actually.
Yeah, that's going
to
happen.
We now pause this episode of The Cultural Hall to go get cupcakes. So there you go. Honorable mentions. And now we begin our list of the top 13 stories. We're going to count them down. You may agree. You may not agree. I don't really care if you agree or not.
Well, and you're welcome to voice your opinion because this was just our list that we like sat down and came up with. And when I was thinking about it, I don't know about you, Richie, but I was just trying to think of like the most popular stories, the ones that I could remember from this year. And that's kind of how I determined the most popular stories.
Yeah. You know, other things too. Oh, you know what? We missed one.
What?
We missed one. And as we go and start this, we're going to have to pull an audible here. I think I'm going to scratch out number 8 and I'm going to replace number 8 with another one that just came to my mind.
Oh, I liked number 8, but I'll let you do it.
Maybe we can combine another one.
Okay. Or we can just talk about it as an honorable mention.
Yeah, let's do that when we get to that. We also here at the Cultural Hall on our Facebook page, we in the next 2 weeks, we will count down the top episodes of 2013. And then after that, do the top blogs that were viewed at theculturalhall.com. So look forward to that as well. Okay, number 13, here we go. Everything about Jodi Arias, or Arias, depending on how you pronounce it. Now, remember, Jodi Arias, this was down in Arizona. She's a woman who joined the church. And it was kind of in the involvement of her boyfriend at the time. He taught her a little bit about the church, and the missionaries taught her. Then she joined the church, and then he was murdered. She was on trial for what seemed like forever, and ended up being found guilty and is in jail. She now again is going to be on trial again to see if they can sentence her to life in prison or the death sentence. But there was a lot of kind of Mormon subtext within the Jodi Arias case. And actually here in the Cultural Hall, we had a very special episode with one of the elders that taught Jodi Arias on his mission.
And what was his opinion? Forgive me for not having listened to the episode.
Yeah, shame on you.
Well, was his opinion that she accepted it 100%?
It's a great interview, but it's just like, he said she was an investigator like anybody else. Well, I guess not like anyone else. When he came back, she had read, the things that he had left her to read and was really excited about it and, almost kind of a golden contact as he describes it. So interesting to note that then you know, a couple of years, or not even years later, I guess months later, she ended up allegedly killing.
Well, no, it's not alleged now. She was guilty, right?
I guess so, yeah.
So you don't have to say allegedly.
I'm taking allegedly out there, killing her boyfriend and another member of the church. So,
well, and the Mormon subtext being that her defense was that, what, he cheated on her or something?
Well, no, there was all sorts of things, and we talked about it here in the cultural hall, there was all sorts of things about, like, this kind of Mormon justification as far as sexual sins,
some things
being okay and some things not. You know, that like oral sex and things like, you know, things like that, where you hear it kind of jokingly within Mormon culture. But, you know, from the stand, you hear her say, well, you know, I didn't want to do these things, but he said that these things were okay or that these things were appropriate or, you know, less viewed sinful. So,
right.
So, yeah, and they, you know, they bring up the elders teaching her, and then there was your fantastical stories that came along with it of people saying, oh, well, it was some sort of blood oath and someone else, you know, broke into his house and killed her or killed him in the way that, you know, they would do back in the day and, you know, all these extreme weird Mormon stories. But Jodi Arias, number 13.
Number 12 was the throwdown in Plain City. This is one of your favorite stories.
Yeah, this is great. This is, so it's Weber County is Plain City. It's up northern Utah. A man was arrested at an LDS meeting house after a fight broke out over saved seats in the chapel. It was the Meadows Ward of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They had a full house because there was not only a missionary farewell, but also a baby blessing. A family that normally does not attend that ward was there for the blessing, sat down in a pew, and was reserving seats for other family members. Then 51-year-old Wayne Dodge, a regular member of the ward, sat down in one of the seats being reserved, and angry words were exchanged between the two parties. So this was your typical, you know, the Dodge family always sits in the front row.
Well, yeah, don't you know in your ward how the certain families always sit in certain pews?
The Christensens are always front left.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so after the meeting, more than words were exchanged, Lowther said. After church was done for the day, the two sides ran into each other in the parking lot. The argument continued, and the fight became even more heated between Dodge and a male member of the other family. Dodge ended up throwing a couple of punches and striking the individual. He had blood coming from his face, so he went inside the church to clean up. And when he exited the church, Dodge was in his car. There was another confrontation. Investigators say Dodge then hit the man with his vehicle. Ultimately, the victim ended up on the hood of the car. Dodge exited the vehicle, and some other people that attended the church service restrained him. I don't know how, but he ultimately ended up in the bishop's office until the law enforcement arrived.
Something like a good throwdown before a sacrament meeting to really set the tone.
I need the every...
Get out of my row!
It's a seat, right?
Yeah.
But I guess, you know...
Well, it's sad that it had to come to that. It really is. Like, I'm trying to put myself in that situation. If I typically sat somewhere every Sunday and someone came in, I don't think I would ever come to fisticuffs. However, I think I would be like, dude, you're in my seat. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
this is
my
row.
You got the pressure of the family coming.
Right.
You know, you got to have good seats for the family that's going to be attending the whole deal. And I just... I don't know.
As one who rarely gets to church on time, I appreciate the person saving seats, but probably that's where it started. Like, saving that many seats or that entire row is difficult when the sounds like the ward was that packed.
So, yeah, don't save seats.
Yeah.
That's the moral of that story. We're to number 11.
We are. This story kind of got swept under the rug, but it happened really recently. This is the story about the federal judge ruling on polygamy here in Utah.
Yeah, it really did get swept under the rug.
Well, it happened like a week before the federal judge also came out with the stance on gay marriage.
But it was also the same week as blacks in the priesthood with the Mormon church.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it was like, hey, polygamy, and blacks in the priesthood, and now gays can get married.
Yeah. So it did really get swept under the rug, but a federal judge in Utah struck down part of the state's law banning polygamy after a lawsuit that was brought by the stars of the TV reality series Sister Wives.
Okay.
Which a new season just started, by the way.
You watched the Sister
Wives?
Totally
into the Sister Wives.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because I like to see how they portray the mainstream LDS church in that show. That's really why I watch it. And also I like reality TV. But
and so the ruling is cohabitation.
Let's see if I have the ruling here.
If I understand.
No, I don't have the ruling. Basically, I think it says that you can have more than one wife. Is
no,
that what it says?
It's not that blatant, but it's like cohabitation between consenting adults. Hang on. We got to have
We got to find it.
I'm looking it up online right now as we speak. Here's a side commentary. I'm Google searching.
I'm waiting for you to look it up because I wrote down the what happened, but I didn't write down the statement.
All right. So here we go. Here is the exact thing.
I found this story on CNN.
U.S. District Judge Clark Wadups effectively invalidated much of Utah's anti-polygamy law in practice, the result of a case pressed by Cody Brown and his family, the people at the center of the Sister Wives reality television show. Brown and his family star in the TLC's show Sister Wives, which documents the life of their polygamous family. Well, the show started with the Browns living in Lehi, Utah, but Brown and his four wives fled to Vegas in 2011 ahead of prosecutors looking to enforce Utah's 150-year-old ban on polygamy. While all states have legal prohibitions on bigamy, Utah's bigamy law is among the most strict. It bans people from even claiming to be married more than one partner, and it bans unrelated polygamous families from living together. Attorneys for the state of Utah tried to get the case thrown out before a ruling could be made, but Wadups noted the lack of substantive response to Brown's arguments about the unconstitutionality of the Utah laws. Wadups' ruling calls the law prohibiting cohabitation with another person as a violation of the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution and is without a basis under the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment.
Wadups' ruling... So they're basically saying it's unconstitutional to say more than one couple can't cohabitate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So although you still can't be legally married to another person or to more than one person, you can cohabitate, and that's the ruling.
And
Jeez.
That's okay.
I suppose it's okay. Have you watched, going along that Sister Wives though show, have you watched the, like, the escaping the...
Breaking the Faith?
Yeah, Breaking
the Faith.
I've
seen a few episodes. Yeah, I'm not really into the whole series.
No?
Yeah. But they're like, I always watch those shows too and look for familiar scenes around Salt Lake, and mm-hmm. I've seen plenty. They're like at Trolley Square and...
The Breaking the Faith, though, isn't that the one where they're like down in Colorado City and they break them out of...
Yeah, they're at the Crick or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like in Cedar City, and then they move them to St. George, and then their location is compromised. So
oh, really?
Then they move them up to Salt Lake to like a safe house up here.
Jeez.
As I understand it from the few episodes I've seen.
I watched one, and where they left me was cliffhangering is, we don't know if they're going to get out. So,
all right. That's a good show, too.
Number 10, BYU and their failed attempt to get Jabari Parker.
Oh, man. We could have had him. We were so close. I don't affiliate with that team at all. I don't know why I said we.
You know, we as in the collective Mormon we.
Yes, the Mormons.
Jabari Parker played for Chicago High School and then decided between a few college programs, BYU being one of them and Duke being the one that he ultimately chose. Unfortunately, I think that we just scared him.
Did we? We're overzealous?
Yeah, because like 600 people wore t-shirts and were like, Jabari, we want you! And like, I think it was just...
It was like when you're dating, after the second date, you're like, so how do you feel about marriage?
Yeah.
And he couldn't commit.
I made a scrapbook of our first date and all, you know what I'm saying? That's really what it seemed like. But he, Jabari's doing amazingly well. He's one of the only people that had thought to be doing really well playing college ball and actually doing well. So much to the point now that because the Utah Jazz suck so bad, there's a lot of people that are like, let's get Jabari to the play for the Utah Jazz.
Let's get Jabari and Jimmer, and it'll be just a golden team.
Yeah, just sweet Mormon team. In fact,
awesome.
we can only afford and get those two, and then everyone else, it's like, meh. Right. Who's that guy? It doesn't matter.
We don't care anyways.
And it really wouldn't matter. You know that?
Yeah.
In the state of Utah, people would just be like, oh, they're Mormon. Let's go watch them.
Yeah.
Let's go watch them play.
That sounds good.
Catch the ball. Brother.
Jabari Parker leading the team in both scoring and rebounding.
For Duke?
Yeah. Uh-huh. A Deseret News article reports that in grading the nation's top freshman, USA Today awarded Parker an A Parker's versatility on both ends of the court is exceptional, is what this review says.
And he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And everything seen him interviewed in, he just seems like a really nice guy. But, man, mama runs that ship.
Well, yeah. But there's talk now that he is going to go on a mission.
Oh, really?
Have you heard that? Do you know
that he has not absolutely determined not to do it, but I haven't heard anything more than that.
Yeah.
But,
that's more or less what I'm getting at is when he finally decided he was going to go to Duke, they were like, okay, great. He's going to Duke. And now it's kind of like, well, I still could possibly go, but I don't know.
Yeah. It'll be foregoing millions of dollars should he decide to go on a mission.
But you know what? I bet he'll come back and his talents will be double what they are now.
Is that how it works?
Because he served the Lord.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. Because you put the Lord first.
I came back and I was no better at basketball.
It's like David Archuleta. He's going to be 10 times more popular when he gets back from his mission.
Did you see his Christmas?
I did.
His Christmas song?
Yeah.
What I want to know is what mission is able to do all that? Like, it's this huge, you know, musical performance. And like mine, it was like skits on the stage in the cultural hall
of the
Kirtland Steak Center.
Well, where is he in? Chile?
Yeah.
Is that where he is? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Their temple Christmas concert, I guess, is a big deal. Yeah. So that's what he sang at.
Unfair. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Number 9. That's where we're at. This is the top, counting down the top 13 stories of 2013. Number 9, we decided to be the death of Frances J. Monson. That's President Monson's wife. They had been married 64 years. He said, she was the love of my life, my trusted confidant, and my closest friend. To say I miss her does not begin to convey the depth of my feelings. Through all these years, I have felt nothing but the full and complete support of my sweet companion. Countless are the sacrifices she made so that I could fulfill my calling. Never did I hear a word of complaint from her, as I was often required to spend days and sometimes weeks away from her and from our children. She was an angel indeed. Frances Monson passed away on May 17th of 2013.
And then every woman hit their husband and said, why don't you talk about me like that?
Come on.
Come on, honey. You don't say those things about me.
Did you do that to your husband?
Maybe.
Did you?
No, I didn't. But that was sweet. That's what my point is, that it was such a sweet quote. And I saw people like, not necessarily do a meme about it, but, you know, put a picture of them together and then put that quote underneath it.
Yeah, absolutely sweet. And yeah. you always see those folks that have been married for a long time, but especially those that are kind of in the public view, and you go, that's hard. And
then
seeing President Monson after that, you can see that there's, I mean, you always kind of apply retrospectively, but you can see that there's a change since she's been gone.
There's just something missing for him.
Number 8, this is where we're going to go back and forth. Now, you said...
I said modesty shaming.
Okay. So what do you mean by modesty shaming?
The issue, there was a couple issues, and I can think of two specifically, and maybe there's more, of students either around the state of Utah, basically at BYU, where there were notes passed to different females who were allegedly wearing inappropriate outfits. And in both instances that happened that I can think of this year, there were guys who wrote letters to these girls basically saying, your outfit causes me to think inappropriately, therefore you should not be wearing this outfit.
Right.
So that's what I mean by modesty shaming. And then this didn't happen this year, but there was also the incident of the skinny jeans at BYU, Idaho, I think.
Yeah.
Where
we should ban skinny jeans. Yeah. They didn't leave anything to the imagination.
Someone got kicked out of the testing center because they were wearing skinny jeans or something like that. So that was my thought for number 8.
And here's where I would go with number 8. My number 8 story would be the man who was a bishop in Taylorsville who dressed up like a homeless person and then went in and attended the ward and said, you know, then
treat
he got up
kindly.
Halfway through the thing. And we did a special episode of him here on the Cultural Hall where he dressed like a homeless person, gets up halfway through his sacrament meeting, and everything that happened with that, where people were just apparently crying and other people were like, this is not how you should treat, you know, the homeless situation.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how some kids and some parents came up and, you know, said, hey, can we help you? And others shunned him away and tried to get him to leave the building. Whether or not you agree with the story or, you know, or disagree with it, I think that that is certainly worth being on the list.
And let's make it a tie.
Yeah, we'll share it.
Yeah.
We'll share it. Number 8, modesty shaming and Bishop dressing like a homeless person and going to church. And then let's do one more and then we'll take a break for a second. Number seven?
Okay, I got to find number seven because I skipped around
number
a little
seven
bit.
Is the hurricane and the humanitarian effort that the church did this year.
Right. So most recently, obviously, the hurricane Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines, mm-hmm. which
huge
impacted.
Huge deal.
Yeah.
And I was just listening on the radio this morning, actually, as I was coming in to do this, about a group of, I thought this was super cool, a group of returned missionaries who... in their various professions, some are doctors, some are, you know, carpenters and home builders and construction, whatever. Anyway, all these guys who had served their missions in the Philippines, who had then come home and got their, you know, their degrees, gotten their life started, and then went out there, they talk about how they were able to be that much more effective because not only were they professionals in, you know, medical field, dental field, home building, whatever. But also they spoke the language, and so they were that much more effective to be able to go back and rally the people behind, you know, this reconstruction effort.
Yeah, and languages. Aren't there multiple languages
yes.
in the Philippines?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Languages.
Yeah, multiple languages.
More than one.
Get that? But, you know, not to obviously downgrade the typhoon, because that's the most recent story. The church obviously was involved in humanitarian aid throughout the year.
Hurricane Sandy, even though
Hurricane
that happened
Sandy.
Last year, you know, still a tremendous amount of effort this year.
Mm-hmm. Cyclone Evan was in Samoa in January. The Feeding America National Hunger Relief Organization continued to donate more than 1 million pounds of food by the church in May. Oklahoma City, there were five tornadoes.
Oh, yeah, the huge tornadoes in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. I'd completely forgotten about those.
Church members in Colorado Springs put together a clothing drive to help evacuees while a wildfire destroyed more than 509 homes and burned 14,000 acres in June. Floods in Mexico killed 100,000 people. Earthquakes and hurricanes in the Philippines as well. So, there was an earthquake in the Philippines as well, 7.2 in late October.
So we will come back with the top. We're doing the rest of the top 13. We're to number six. We'll come back with six through number one. It's a countdown of the top 13 stories. It's the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5500. To book your shoot today.
It's time for the second half of the countdown. It's the top 13 stories of 2013. It's the Cultural Hall. It's me, Richie T, and Lindsay.
Hi, how are you?
How do people find you on Twitter?
At Lindsay, spelled with an A. Lindsay, on air.
Oh, geez, you're one of those?
I am, because there's like a million Lindsays out there. There's
right.
a million ways to spell it. And
But couldn't you just do your last name?
Yeah, but I don't always want my last name out there, just in case I have stalkers, you
right.
know, because... That happens.
Yeah, I've had one.
Yeah.
She broke a window at my old house.
Seriously?
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm scared of. And I'm a girl, so I feel like guys are way creepier.
Yeah. Oh, we are.
Yeah. So I don't always love my last name out there, but.
She doesn't love your last name. Do you hear that?
No,
you hear that, husband? She
I
doesn't
said
love
out
her last
there.
Name.
I
just
said
saying.
Out there.
I heard what I heard. Let's get to number six. This is unfortunate. One of the sadder stories of 2013 for sure. Talking about missionary deaths.
Yeah, it was inordinately, is that the word I'm looking for?
Sure.
High. Like, I was looking at some statistics. Usually, it's like 2 to 3, maybe. And this year, it was at least 10.
I've got 12, so let me share these with you. 4 died in transit accidents.
Okay.
4 succumbed to health problems. 1 fell to a stray bullet. And 2 were electrocuted. 12 missionaries died in 2013. The deaths are far above typical levels. And while church officials insist the spike doesn't represent a trend, it has raised anew the question, is missionary work safe? The answer, according to the head of the faiths, that being the Mormon faith, missionary department, is an emphatic yes. In a rare statement issued in September after the 10th missionary died, and remember, there was like for 2 or 3 weeks, it was like 2 a week.
Yeah.
Elder David F. Evans said Mormon missions were inherently safe. At the same time, he offered words of solace to the affected families. Quote, "For the church and particularly for the families of these missionaries who have lost their lives, we know that the loss of even one missionary is far too many," said Evans, executive director of the Missionary Department for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The official statement came as the LDS Church copes with a surge. Let's see. Evans said that the church... The safety of Mormon missionaries spread across 405 missions worldwide does not come by luck or accident. The church's far-flung presence, blah, blah, blah. Traffic accidents are among the most common causes of death among missionaries, as they are for all men and young and women ages 18 to 24. Not surprisingly, missionaries receive safety training for bicycles and motor vehicles in preparation for the 18-month and 2-year-long stints. Josh Burton, 23, from Alberta, Canada, died in a traffic accident when he was struck in Guatemala. Taylor Shane Ward from California on State Highway 39 in southeastern Idaho. Andrew Edward Page from Charlotte, North Carolina, was killed in California when he was struck by a vehicle.
Yeah, so I don't think you can, like it said earlier in the article, it's not lending itself to any trends. I think, honestly, these were just accidents that happened and illnesses that happened. Even the electrocutions were accidents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, I mean, not to discount these deaths in any sort of way, but it's not like there's mobs out there killing missionaries. It's just accidents that have happened. And unfortunately, this year, there were a lot of them.
Among the least predictable of these is random street crime, which claimed one elder, Jose Daniel Encarnacion Montero, 20, a Mormon from the Dominican Republic, was killed in Cali, Colombia, by a stray bullet. And
that's scary too for, you know, people that are sending out missionaries. You're sending them out for 2 years and hoping that they're going to be protected. But for, I can imagine for moms reading this story this year, being like, oh, and I got to send my son out there, daughter out there. That's terrifying.
For sure. That's number 6. That's missionary deaths, which brings us to number 5.
Missionary numbers.
Yeah.
Basically.
A positive side on the other end.
Yeah. So the change came, last October?
Mm-hmm. October 2012.
Yeah, of the missionary age. And since then, so 59,000 missionaries in late 2012 to over 80,000 this month.
They say by the end of 2013, which is here in just, you know, a day or so, 85,000 missionaries served.
Crazy.
In June, they added 58 missions, making it the 405 missions that we just mentioned. And it's just a tremendous, amazing, huge response.
Do you have numbers there about the number of sister missionaries? Because I think I read something like 19,000 additional sister missionaries.
You know, I don't. I know that that sister missionaries are up by like 150% or something like that. It's still not 50-50, but they actually anticipate that it will go to the point that women will exceed the men in serving missionaries, in missionaries serving.
Well, we are more righteous.
Yeah, is that what that is?
Just
self-righteous,
saying.
Perhaps.
Just saying. Not
if
self-righteous.
If I only had to serve for 18 months, sure.
I'd go too.
I'd be that.
No. I didn't go on a mission.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, how was your mission more righteous?
I can't say. I was kidding. It was a joke.
But it's interesting because I think that in a projection that I saw, if it continues to trend as it's trending and the church continues to grow as it grows, they're thinking that by middle of 2015, we'll have 100,000 missionaries serving.
Jeez.
Which is just tremendous.
Yeah.
So that's story number 5, the number of missionaries serving. Now, this was number 4. This also just pretty recently, this is the Mormon Church, you know, We the Mormons.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. I'll have to look into more of that. Explaining the reasoning for restricting men of Black African descent from receiving the priesthood until 1978. So for a long time, and we'd talked about this here in the Cultural Hall before, you know, whether you heard growing up, it's like, well, they're descendants of Ham and they have the plague of the dark skin. And there was that whole,
Ham?
I mean, yeah, Ham in the Bible.
Oh, okay.
And so there was that kind of like Mormon lore, or, you know, and then everything with the revamping of the scriptures where they took that part out last year in 2012. And now, to the point that the LDS Church on a newly published page, of the web, that being lds.org/topics/race-and-the-priesthood, came out with this statement, quote, "The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was restored amidst a highly contentious racial culture in which whites were afforded great privilege." The statement reads, "Those realities, though unfamiliar and disturbing today, influenced all aspects of people's lives, including their religion." The statement echoes many Latter-day Saints' belief in the topic, but it is significant in that it is a thorough explanation for the practice officially published by the Church. Until 1978, men who were Black were barred from receiving the priesthood, and both men and women who were Black were denied entrance to the Church's temple. Founder Joseph Smith openly opposed slavery, and in the 1830s and 40s, several men who were Black received the priesthood. The statement notes, following the assassination of Smith in 1844, many members of the Church followed Brigham Young to what the U.S. Congress later designated the Utah Territory in 1850. There were Southerners who were slave owners and converted to the Church questioned the status of slavery in the territory. Young announced a policy in 1852 restricting men of Black African descent from receiving the priesthood. The statement points out Young also said that, quote, that at some future day, Black Church members would have all the privilege and more enjoy and more enjoyed by other members. And then, of course, in 1978, Church President Spencer W. Kimball announced all male members of the Church, regardless of race, could receive the priesthood.
I feel like that's a long time, though. I mean, basically, the statement to me feels like it's like, well, it was acceptable at the time, so we just went with it, kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's more or less like, because from the statement you read, it sounds like Joseph Smith didn't believe in slavery,
right,
but Brigham Young did. And so,
and so then that was it.
So
and
we'll
then
just go
Blacks
with it.
Couldn't have the priesthood. No, and for a lot of people, you know, take this as you will. So Joseph Smith also had a level of a feeling like women and should have the priesthood. And so there are a lot of people that go, hey, you know what? The Church is saying this about Blacks in the priesthood. When is it going to be the women's turn?
Right.
And you know, when is that statement coming from the Church? The other side of that, too, is I know that there are a lot of people that are like, you know what? Finally, we're able to just be honest and say, you know what? It was a little racist.
Right. And this is what happened. And we just kind of have to go with it.
But there, you know, on the opposite end of that, there are a lot of people that are like, well, wait a minute. Why is God's Church racist?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it does. It asks some questions where you have to kind of go, all right, so how does this work out?
Was it the church? Or was it one man?
Yeah.
Or was it, how could God allow his prophet to be a racist?
For so long?
Yeah.
You know?
And the other part of the argument you bring up is, you know, a lot of people with the women ordination thing bring up, well, people, they compare it a lot to Blacks in the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
And basically people had to ask for the prophet to do his asking, mm-hmm. I guess. And so kind of with the women in ordination thing now, women are saying, well, we need to ask, you know, we need to prompt the asking. Yeah, we need to prompt the asking. So
we'll get to that. That's coming up. We still got more stories to
I'm
get
to. I'm teasing
through.
Ahead. That's what in radio we like to call a tease.
Well, I feel properly teased. So that's number four. That's the statement on Blacks from the LDS Church. And again, you can get that. You can find all these links to all these stories, by the way, at theculturalhall.com in association with this episode. At lds.org/topics/race-and-the-priesthood.
I feel like our top four are all pretty heavy issues.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so we'll
do this.
Yeah, let's do this as lightly as possible.
Number three, we determined to be, there's a light part of this.
Yeah.
The Boy Scouts celebrated 100 years of affiliation with the LDS Church.
That's a big deal.
Huge deal. I myself didn't get my Eagle, but participated in the Scout program and loved it. Loved it for what it did and for the experiences that I had doing it. And
does
feel
any
like it's
boy
pretty important.
Really get his Eagle Scout, or does his mom get the Eagle Scout?
Yeah, some would say that.
Kidding. Joke, also a joke.
No, I don't think anyone's going, she's out of line. No, it's mom's going, you are going to get that.
Yeah, you will do that Eagle Scout, and I will go camping with you.
I will pack your bag, and I will pick you up at the church, and I'll make sure you don't come back. A tremendous program for helping the youth, for helping the boys. But there's also the other side of it as well.
Right. And that was in May. The Boy Scouts approved a resolution to remove any restriction denying membership to youth based on sexual orientation. The church issued a statement in response to the BSA's policy change. Sexual orientation has not previously been and is not now a disqualifying factor for boys who want to join the Latter-day Saint Scout troop. Willingness to abide by the standards of behavior continues to be our compelling interest. These standards are outlined in the booklet for the Strength of Youth and include abstinence from sexual relationships, which is a good point. It's like you abstain from all sexual relationships, whether gay or straight.
Right.
Or you're supposed to, at
least. But still no gay scout leaders.
Correct.
In that huge survey, like you mentioned. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing.
The ruling.
Yeah, the ruling to come, to come on the side of, all right, well, kids can be gay, leaders cannot be.
Right. It's like they worry that gay leaders are just going to indoctrinate children into living that lifestyle.
A little bit, yeah. Or like that they associate homosexuality with pedophilia.
Right. And you're instantly creepy if you're gay. Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who are like, there's no place for it in that. I'll say this. I think that in the maybe distant-ish future, I think that you'll see Scouts continue to be part of the church, but it'll be separate. I think that you'll have, similar to how the young women have, you get your medallion. What is it?
The personal progress.
Personal progress. Mm-hmm. I think that you'll have a men personal progress, and then Scouts will be a separate thing. Still sponsored by the church, and you can do it, but I don't think you'll have it be the men's activity.
Okay. And you think that's because of this?
No, I don't think it's because of that necessarily. I just think that I think that there are enough youth now, and I see this, I guess, in my own ward that are like, Scouts is not my thing.
Right.
Going camping, shooting guns, tying knots, that's not my thing.
Right.
They should still be able to develop leadership skills and, be able to work with a team and do some things, but it's not necessarily going to be, camping and doing the way it's been for years.
Don't you have a son this age?
Mm-hmm.
Is he doing Scout?
He does not care for it.
Okay. So that's kind of where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I look at other kids too, and it's just, it's just a different time. We need to be able to evolve and go along with kids how they are now. Whereas
Media?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
As opposed to tying knots and learning how to camp.
Yeah, I mean, some of that stuff is a little bit antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. There's charm in its antiquation, but, let's do things that apply.
Yeah.
And if kids don't want to do that, okay, then let's figure out something. Whereas I think back in the day, it would have been, kids don't want to do that, well, we force them to do it.
Right.
Number two? Boy, we're getting heavy.
Oh, my gosh. Another heavy issue. Well, this isn't as heavy, I would say, but we've grouped together, I call it the pants dance. Women,
pants
the women wanting ordination, the group of women who wanting ordination, there's kind of two parts to this. That group who protested at General Conference this year in October, was it October?
They wanted to go to
priesthood session.
Yep, that's October.
So in October, and then also the first woman to pray at General Conference.
And that was in April.
Okay.
So huge, huge deal for the women this year. And the church, I think their official statement was that the prayers had been selected before, the big hubbub about women praying in church. But
right.
The fact that it was a huge deal, oh my gosh, women praying in church. And then you never heard a second word about it in the October conference.
Right.
There were women that prayed and it was like, meh, okay, now women pray.
Yeah, no big deal. There was that whole Facebook group, too, that started. They wanted a group to wear pants to church.
Sure. And that they did their first event in 2012. You can hear the episode we did with them here at theculturalhall.com. Go back into the Listen Now episodes. But they did it again this year, and it's, you know, it's wear pants to church and support women in the priesthood. I wore a purple tie that day. I saw no women wearing pants.
I did not see any women wearing pants either.
It was certainly a bigger deal the year before, but, you know, there is this group of women that feel like they should be ordained to the priesthood.
And I respect those women as peers, but I respectfully disagree. I don't know. I just have an issue with this issue because I don't understand wanting the priesthood. I don't understand. I feel like my role as a woman in the church is very clearly defined, and I love my role as a woman and especially in the church. And I want that authority to be reserved to men because I can benefit from that. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And I may be a minority in feeling that way. And I have a non-member cousin who said to me, well, don't you think the church could benefit from some women, you know, in the 12 apostles who could provide a different insight into the leadership of the church coming from a women's perspective?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, but I'm sure those men have women in their lives who are helping them, or at least they can bounce ideas off of. And I don't feel that they're so out of touch. They don't recognize those situations. I don't know. I guess I just don't understand I don't understand it. I don't understand why women want the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can enlighten me.
Well, and there's people just yelling at it. Well, here's why.
Yeah, because equality for all.
Maybe you don't feel that way, but I do.
Right. And I respect that. Absolutely.
You know, here is my very liberal opinion about it. I think that you'll see things. I don't think that 2014 will be a year that you'll see women getting the priesthood. But I think that in the next few years, you're going to see things like women being able to be in Sunday school presidencies, for example, or serving in positions that whether it be tradition or whether it be out of mandate, you know, because of the priesthood requires it to be, I think that you'll start to see women fill those positions. Because I think there is something valid to having, you know, either whether it be the most qualified person for the job or to just have a different perspective to weigh in on some of those things.
But isn't that issue of giving women leadership roles in the church different than being ordained?
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think that 2014 or 15 or 16 is going to be the year that you see women get the priesthood. But I do think that you'll see a huge shift within the church where you'll see women in these leadership roles where they haven't been before. Okay. And I think it will better serve the church.
Yeah, and I'm all for that. I just don't necessarily understand the desire to hold the priesthood, the keys of the priesthood.
Well, when you think about, I mean, so here's the deal. One of the things that I love about the priesthood is the way that I'm able to serve people.
Mm-hmm.
And in the few times that I've seen literal miracles come about from, you know, using the priesthood, I think that there are people that are just like, hey, you know what? I'm worthy.
Mm-hmm.
I do what I want to, you know, or I do what I'm supposed to as far as the church goes. I'd like to be able to perform miracles under God's direction.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, you know, I don't think that it's an envious or covetous kind of thing, but I think they're just like, you know what? I'm just as worthy as Richie.
Yeah.
I should be able to, you know, heal my kid. If my husband's not around, I want to be able to lay my hands on my kid's head and,
you know. Or for single moms.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
Yeah.
Any number of those things. So I think, though that wouldn't be everyone's argument, I think that that is certainly an argument where people are like, you know what, if I'm just as worthy, you know, how come because I was born as a woman, do I not get the chance to do that?
Yeah. And I can understand that point of view. I sort of just, I feel like the priesthood is such a sacred thing that I just don't want to mess with it.
Well,
you know
what
I mean?
It up. That's the
well,
thing.
Clearly, I mean, would do it wrong. I don't know what I'm doing. But yeah, I just like that. I like how traditional it is, I guess.
Yeah. And that's a lot of people. And that's why I don't think that you'll see things shift for a long time.
I'm not really a feminist, though.
People like the familiarity and people like what they like.
Mm-hmm.
It's been this way. Why? Well, because.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I like it. Well, wait, why are you doing it that way? That's different.
Yeah.
For better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're to number one. You ready for this?
Oh my gosh. I'm all like serious issued out.
But
no,
this
I'm just
one,
kidding.
A pretty big one.
Yeah, this is a big
huge
deal.
Huge most recently here in the state of Utah.
the Defense of Marriage Act, and this most recently, the church issuing a statement based on a federal judge's ruling that says that the ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional.
Here in the state of Utah.
Correct.
Now, Utah being the 18th state in the United States to have same-sex marriage.
Did you think it would happen to us before other states?
No, not at all.
I think that's crazy.
I put out on Facebook, I was like, wow. I thought we'd be the 51st.
Yeah.
And now we're the 18th.
Someone else put, time to move to Missouri.
Yeah. Pack up the handcarts. Yeah. We're going back to Missouri.
Time to go.
It's the time of the second coming. And it wasn't just this federal ruling. There was a huge thing with the Supreme Court in June.
Yes. That was the first thing that happened this year. They released a statement regarding the Defense of Marriage Act and California's Proposition 8. Remember that whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
The statement read, regardless of the court's decision, the church remains irrevocably committed to the strengthening of traditional marriage between a man and a woman, for which thousands of years has proven to be the best environment for nurturing children.
Yes.
It's a bold statement.
I know. Yeah.
It seems bold. You know what I mean?
It seems interesting to me that, well, first of all, that it happened in the state of Utah, but you know, I think now that it happens here, I don't know, you know, it's an individual state issue in a lot of respects, but I don't know what really stops anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, because the state of Utah had an amendment to its state's constitution defining marriage as a man and woman. Judge Shelby said,
no,
can't. That's unconstitutional. And to me, I think all those other states, I think that's why they don't have that as well. It's similar.
Can I bring up my confusion on this?
Talk to me.
I'm confused because I believe in this religion and I know what it...
That being the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Correct. This one that we're talking about for the last hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Just clarifying.
And I understand what this statement says and I feel like I am supposed to support this because this is what my religion that I believe in teaches. However, for me personally, my view is that whether Steve and Steve get married does not make my marriage any less valid.
Sure.
Whether or not I agree with Steve and Steve is a different issue. However, I still love Steve and Steve. And I just don't understand how it affects my marriage or makes my marriage any less valid. However, mm-hmm. So I just feel like a bad person because I don't have a side. I feel really torn on mm-hmm. this issue. And I hope that's okay to feel that way.
Absolutely.
I hope
that you feel that way. So it's perfectly fine.
I know,
fine to
but
feel
I hope
way.
People aren't like, well, take a stand, you know?
No, it's a difficult thing because if you disagree with homosexuality, you know, people instantly are like, oh, you're a bigot. I can't believe that you would feel that way, etc. And then it seems like if you're okay, you know, if you're like, yeah, I fully support homosexuality, people are like, well, what about, you know, your belief in God and in this traditional marriage?
Right.
It's a huge kind of dichotomy of belief as far as that goes. Here is how I justify it. Here's how I look at it. Jesus told me to love everyone.
True.
Right?
True statement.
I'm working really hard at my wife and my kid, right?
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of work. Guess what I have zero time for outside of that?
Steve
Most
Steve.
Anything else, right?
Yeah.
So when it comes to, you know, loving other people, it's like, you know what? I love you. I'll do anything for you. What do you need? What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of my time and the majority of my focus is, you know what? First of all, with me, what am I doing? What, you know, am I doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing? Am I serving as I should? Am I, you know, fulfilling my callings? Am I reading? Am I praying? Am I home teaching? Blah, 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 you know, all these things.
There's a lot to do.
And then it expands out to, you know, well, how can I better show my wife that I love her? How can I have experiences with my kid that will help him to be a responsible, you know, citizen at the point that he's ready to move out? And then past that, I've got about 2 minutes where it's like, you know what, Steve and Steve, all right, I love you.
Yeah.
You know what? I may or may not agree with, you know, the fact that you guys are getting married. I don't know how it affects me. In my mind, I'm a little doomsday-ish, I think, sometimes. Sometimes my mind goes to, I don't know why God said no.
Yeah. I don't have an answer for that.
I hope it's not anything.
Mm-hmm.
I hope not 10 years from now, you know, we're not looking at a study going, and the reason why this is happening is because of gay marriage, you know?
Or when you get to the pearly gates, it's not like, why didn't you stand up for this?
Right. But to me, I think the biggest thing about it is that regardless of people's choices, you have to love everyone. You don't have to love their choice, but that you absolutely have to love everyone. And if loving them, how do I want to say that? I just think that, you know, loving them is the way to go about it. And you can love a person and not necessarily love what it is they do.
Right. And I would agree with that statement. Yeah, I just feel torn on it. I honestly feel like I just stayed neutral because I don't want to take a side either way, because it feels like either way I choose, I'm not supporting one situation. And I feel like our generation has it way different, because our generation has sort of been raised, you know, just more accepting, more tolerant, more open-minded, mm-hmm. whereas my parents, and especially my grandparents...
Yeah, it's no question. Yeah. It's no question to the older generation.
Yeah.
So then let's pose this question to you then. Is that perhaps a way that we're getting gotten?
By Satan?
No, by fence sitting.
Oh, okay. Okay. I hope not.
Right?
I hope it's an issue of tolerance, and each generation is a little more open-minded than the next, you know.
But when you say open-minded, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think some would come at us and say, hey, you know what? Take a stand.
Right. Well, I don't know why I can't take a stand. I wish I could. Yeah. You know, I don't, again, I love everyone. I don't necessarily love the choices, but it's not my choice to make, you know?
She literally does love everyone. I've walked around places with her, with Lindsay before, and she's like, I love you. I'm like, did you even know that person? She's nope. Like, no, but I love him.
It's just awkward.
Yeah.
It's just awkward.
Like, kiss on the lips. Sorry. She's like, I love you. I'm like,
this is
so weird.
My husband gets really annoyed by that. Yeah. He's like, can you stop that?
Can you stop loving everyone, please?
Seriously.
That is the top 13 stories of 2013. You can always reach out to us, theculturalhall.com, richie@theculturalhall.com. If you want to email, you can make your comments about stories that we may have missed, or differing opinions. If you're like, no, what? This is the gay marriage thing there. Or
right.
Boy Scouts, you bet. Blah, 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 blah. Or that guy dressing like a homeless person in the Bishop Brick. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever you want to weigh in on. You can do that. Look forward to a great 2014 year wherein we will have a live cultural hall show.
Ooh,
we're doing it.
I want to play.
I think that you should be there. In fact, I will mandate that you be there.
What?
Either way. Because I love you.
Oh my gosh, I love you too. I love everyone.
Don't kiss me. We hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body.
And that when the time comes, you can travel home in safety.
And that if you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, you'll be healthy enough to listen next week. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat. On the back row, we really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.